Blog Talk Radio.
I guess it's me. Welcome to the Vid Show, everybody. I am Seth Kamens, Sean Palmer, Seth and Sean. I'm actually waiting for it to be not 90 degrees outside so I can host my show on my new deck, which would be quite exciting as opposed to in my somewhat working air-conditioned living room. I'm sick and tired of talking about Penn State. For this year, it's been funny. You know, if you had told me a year ago that I'd be doing this radio show, first of all, with such an accomplished co-host, that'd be great. If you told me I would be discussing, probably more than anything else, a child molestation case affecting probably the most storied in a non-arrogant Notre Dame-ish kind of school in the country, I wouldn't have been thrilled, and I would have been a little bit shocked. And yet here we are once again. We have the Olympics coming up. We have the best hitter of this decade being traded. And as usual, and hopefully for the last time, we start in Penn State. So what are we looking at? We're looking at $60 million in fines, 4 years probation, a reduction of scholarships from 25 to 15, and the ability for any of these players to transfer immediately with no need to redshirt. Well, people are saying that this shows that there'll never be a death penalty. In my mind, this is worse. Mr. Palmer?
Well, 90 degrees. I'm sitting in my apartment also, air-conditioned. I'll see you on the deck in October, the way this is looking. But the fact remains, this is not a death penalty, at least not to me. And the question of the day, for those who would like to call in, 760-283-0846. And it's a pleasure, again, to be on the air with my esteemed co-host, Seth. The fact remains, the question of the day is, was this the right penalty? And if you don't believe so, what would have been? And right now, I've read the free report. I've read and Syracuse came out with a report, which I was unaware of in early June or early July, about Bernie Fine's misgivings, which is a whole other saga that tugs at my heart. But this is not a death penalty to me. A death penalty will take 2 decades to come back from. And SMU is the last team to have a death penalty case. And I did not realize that there have actually been 5 death penalty cases before, 2 involving a tennis team, which totally boggles my mind. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But you're right. I didn't think, if you had told me this last year, that, one, we'd be talking the third week in July with the Olympics on the horizon in 4 days about college football, that would have boggled my mind. Not baseball. Not basketball. Basketball, yeah, Dwight Howard. Not that football training camps are coming up in a month. But college football, again. Anyway, we'll get into the lovely story of Penn State for hopefully, as Seth said the last time. We do have Ichiro Suzuki coming to the bright lights, big city of New York. Dwight Howard. Who knows where Dwight Howard's going? And hopefully, presumably, according to Orlando, he's not going anywhere. So all this was whatever. No big deal. And we have the Olympics starting in 5 days with the U.S. basketball team. Who knows if they're going to take the gold? They should take the gold, but they're not looking like a gold medal team right now. So the question today, again, please call in 760-283-0846, and we've had a lot of feedback. Well, at least I have. Twitter has blown up over this, so we do have a lot of responses to this equation. Now, let me ask you, Seth, if you perceive this as a death penalty or worse than a death penalty?
I perceive this as worse,
why?
And I'll tell you why. I will tell you why.
Excellent.
To me, to compare this to SMU isn't the same. No, SMU had a great 2 or 3 year run based upon Eric Dickerson, Craig James, the Pony Express. it was not a football powerhouse as a people did not wake up, you know, when they were 9 years old, say, dreaming I was going to play at SMU.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is the reason SMU failed was, number one, well, obviously they had their death penalty. Number one, they extended their death penalty beyond a year. And this is probably the caveat that I should say. If Penn State's death penalty went beyond 1 year, then I take back what I'm saying. But most death penalties are for one season. Theirs went for two or three, I think for 2 years. And 3 or 4 years after that, which it does take time, obviously, to build back up, was the disintegration of the Southwest Conference. And because of that, they were thrown into nowhere land. Suddenly they're a team with a non-proud history, not playing in a great conference, with really nothing, there was nothing for them to go forward on. Penn State, let's say horrible situation, Penn State is forced to sit out a year. Say, assume most of the players leave. It would take about 6 or 7. I think it would take about 5 or 6 years to build up back to a respectability. I don't think it would take a year. I don't think it would take 2 or 3. I think it would be 6 or 7 years. This case, it almost seems like it's going to be the exact same thing. Forgetting the fine, because the fine is somewhat moot. You're going to lose, my guess is, over 50% of the players. Silas Fred, they're already talking about their potential All-American running back. He's going to go to USC. The recruits are decommitting. They're not going to be competitive for a very, very long. I mean, they'll still obviously be playing. There's no TV ban. I had a much better argument, and I actually forgot it. But to me, they're going to be mired in this 2-9, 3-8 mediocrity for the next 6 or 7 years. I think they would have been better off getting the 1 year over with and just moving forward, as opposed to this gradual disintegration, which is really what it is, because it's over four years. It's a 50-year of a decrease of over 80. I think it's 80 scholarships combined, 80 or 40, 25 to 15. So it's a 40 scholarships diminished. You have to be out. They can only max at 65. It's just as brutal, to be honest, when it's all said and done. Well, did we just lose Mr. Palmer?
I had to switch phones. That's okay.
Okay.
So I listened to what you said, and I agree in some ways. I think that if it was 1 year and everything was done in 1 year. Now, remember, SMU wasn't done in 1 year either. The death penalty doesn't necessarily mean that everything takes place in 1 year. You still have a reduction of scholarships after that. And SMU, you're right, was more than 1 year, but they did it to themselves. I think the fact is, for me, that this is better than a death penalty. And the reasoning for me is that you still have football. You still have your fan base. You don't lose your fan base. I think part of why SMU was so disastrous was because you lost your fan base. And not to say that Penn State would lose their fan base as quickly as SMU did, because the rabid fan base that fills up Beaver Stadium every week, 100,000. But I still think you have football. And more importantly, and I understand what people are going to say when I make this claim, that this is not about football. I get it. I entirely get it. But sometimes sports allows you to push past something. And I'm not saying that you're going to push past everything, and I'm not saying that you're going to be able to separate maybe Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno from the rest of the Penn State alumni, the rest of the Penn State fan base and whatnot. But at the same point, the quicker you start recovering, the easier it is. I don't think if they took 1 year or 2 years off and then came back and it was, wow, the illustrious Penn State is back, that makes it any better. In fact, I think that makes it much worse. Now, do I think Mark Emery acted appropriately? No, absolutely not. This goes well beyond his scope.
But wasn't this the exact discussion we had last week? Where my questioning of this was, is this beyond what the NCAA should be doing? You're articulating it better.
I think in some ways you were right last week. I think you're right this week. I think does he have the power to do it? Yes. So the question is, okay, so he has the power to do it. Should he be doing it? Because I've heard many arguments as to the University of Virginia, where there was a murder of the lacrosse player. Nothing went down there. The Duke lacrosse team, when that all went down, nothing went down there. This is an extremely slippery slope that Mark Emmert is going through. This is a Roger Goodell slope when these players are not professionals. And the biggest problem I have with this entire situation is the exact same problem I have whenever there is a scandal. These players did nothing wrong, and they're the ones being punished.
So would you have preferred, say, a $200 million fine and nothing against the football program? I mean,
no.
I'm just throwing a number out there.
Yeah. No, I understand. What I would prefer is a postseason ban. I'm okay. Postseason ban, that's fine. No problem. No, maybe not, because the fact is, if you have a postseason ban, people are going to transfer anyway. So I think you have to play in the postseason. You play a normal schedule. You don't deprive them of any of that. What you do is you take every single dollar that is earned, every single dollar that is earned for 4 years, from TV, from the Big Ten, from your bowl game, from revenue that comes in, from the TVs, from the ticket sales, from your concession, every single dollar. And you give that to the charitable fund. Every single dollar. Not just
so you're looking at you're looking at something in the regards of $250 to $300 million.
Okay, if that's what it takes.
Well, the $60 million was supposedly 1 year of total income for the football program. So
okay.
I'm going to round up a little bit. So we're saying...
And actually, I'm not sure I'd go that far, because the problem that I have in some ways is that because the football program supports so many other teams,
not only
you
teams,
have that issue as well.
The university. It supports.
Well, the university
has
an over $1 billion endowment.
I understand that, but still,
university can survive.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot tighter on 200 for the two. I mean, if you're paying it gradually, I guess if you're paying it over 4 years, not horrendous, but it is a slippery. And I agree. I don't know. You know, this is one of those you don't really know. There really is no right answer on what should be done. And
you're right. There's no right answer, but I think that there is a wrong answer.
And you think this was the wrong answer?
I think that this, in some ways, is the wrong answer. I have a really big problem jeopardizing, penalizing people that had absolutely nothing to do with this. And that's what you're doing. And I understand the freshman that can transfer. I get it. You're a freshman. You know what? Transfer over to USC, redshirt your year. If you want to redshirt, you don't have to. But let's say you redshirt your year, you get 4 more years. Great. What do you tell the junior that's the offensive guard that is not going to make his living as a football player, because as we know in all those commercials that the NCAA puts out, 98% of all student athletes don't make it as a professional athlete, if not more than that. What do you tell that junior guard that has a degree in, let's say, I don't know, auto mechanics? I don't know, a specialized degree that Penn State has.
I don't know if they do auto mechanics. Does Syracuse have an auto mechanics degree?
let's say bioengineering, okay, or I don't know, logging.
I know where you're going with it. I understand.
Give me a specialized degree that you have put in 3 years to do. You're on a scholarship. You have absolutely no chance. If you want to go to USC or go to Texas or whatnot, they don't have that degree. So you have to choose. Do I stay at Penn State and play football with no chance of going to a playoff game? Or do I transfer to another college where I have to basically give up my career? And give up all my friends, give up, if they're local to Penn State, give up my family nearby. You're punishing the people that did absolutely nothing wrong. That's my biggest issue with this.
Interesting.
And it's my biggest issue whenever you have a suspension of the team. Because the guys that should be penalized, if you heard last night, if you heard yesterday and last night, Mark Emmert said absolutely nothing about Graham Spanier. He said nothing about Mark Hurley. He said nothing about the guys that are being indicted or should be indicted. He only said things about the students and the football team. That, to me, is the wrong problem. The wrong thing.
So what are your let's go on to our Facebook and our question of the day. Usually we do at the end of the show, but I don't really want to go back to this if I can help it. So why don't we start with your... I think I'm sensing sarcasm.
Oh, there's so much sarcasm with this because this absolutely disgusts me. It's an issue that we have to talk about, but it is an issue that once this is done, and I say this in a very, I don't even know how you can say done, because it's never really going to be done. I mean, I think that's the unfortunate thing. This is going to be something that will forever be remembered at Penn State, for better or for worse. So, okay, so to some of the people that have answered. So to Peter Brucia from New York, Peter has stated, the university needs to take Joe's name off the library and any reference to him needs to be removed. If he were alive, he would be indicted for conspiracy to obstruct justice and a felony. Based on the report, he would be guilty and go to jail. Shutting down the program would hurt a lot of innocent people, and that depend on the program for their livelihood. We didn't even get into that. I also think that Joe's family should go off into the sunset and stop talking to the media. I can't disagree with any of that.
No. Is Peter a lawyer by any chance?
No, Peter's actually told me many times that he's not a lawyer.
Okay. I was going to say that was a pretty legal-sounding response, so I was curious.
It did.
We didn't talk about the Paternos because pretty much everybody just wants them to shut up at this point. And I think that's just a consensus. So please continue.
Okay, so I got Jack Holland, also from New York. I think it was a very clever ruling in the marketing sense. The NCAA was compelled to make a dramatic ruling and appear overly harsh to Penn State. $60 million fine, vacating all their wins, four-year bowl ban, blah, 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 blah. So the public lynching feels are satisfied. On the other hand, Penn State is one of the glamour programs in college football. If they kill Penn State football, they are permanently alienating hundreds of thousands of football supporters, which translates to millions of dollars in lost revenue. A four-year ban is a lifetime in the public memory. This allows Penn State to rebuild their program from the ground up and, as I said before, lets them play football right now, keeping their loyal fans and boosters, filling the stadium, and keeping the tradition alive. Said what is fair, however, in my opinion, is to kill the program for 10 years, but that's only my view.
That seems... Again, a wee bit extreme, but understood.
But here's the thing: when you get into conversations like this, you get extreme people. You get people that are looking for vengeance. You are looking for somebody to make sense of this. And how do I punish? What is the penal aspect of this? The unfortunate thing is the people that should be punished have been. There's no more to do. You've taken care of Joe Paterno to what Joe Paterno has done, and he's dead. You've taken care of Joey Sandusky. He's going away to prison. You've taken away Graham Stainer. He's gone, and he'll probably be brought up on charges. You've taken away the athletic director. You've taken away the financial guy. Now people are looking for more. And the problem is, at least to me, there is no more. So what do you do now? And I don't think you can do very much. So a lot of my comments went to the same thing. They were looking for a penal endeavor. They were looking for a way to punish Penn State. And my problem with this is you've punished the people you need to punish. Now you have to try and move past it as hard as it is. And it's not easy.
And also, I think people just, it is still too new in a lot of, remember, this isn't something, you know, one of the discussions that came up when I was doing some research on this was, you know, they didn't give Baylor basketball, which was in its own way just as horrendous, a death penalty. And one of the reasons, and I don't usually quote First Take because I can't stand either of them, but I don't like that actually First Take. It was ESPN, though. Was the reason they didn't get the death penalty, for all those who are listening who don't remember, one of the players was murdered by another player, and then the coach pretty much covered it up and said it was a drug deal gone bad.
That was Dave Bliss.
It was Dave Bliss. It was Carlton Dotson, and Patrick Dennehy, I think, was the other guy, was the three people involved. But they were, you know, this was within a few months, within 2 months, you know, this was all out there. And Baylor, as soon as they realized what happened, not only self-imposed, but turned themselves in. You know, this, obviously, Jopa at best. And look, none of us will ever really know. You know, was he just a senile 75-year-old man who just never grasped what happened? I wouldn't be surprised if he was. You know, I don't really know.
I think people hope he was.
Yeah.
I mean, supporters of Joe Paterno say that he was. That's exactly what they hope.
Yeah, and I think it's a relatively valid argument, a valid point. I mean, none of us really know, and he was, for all intents and purposes, a figurehead the last 10, 15 years of his career anyway. So, you know, anyway, going forward, so what else we got?
Those were pretty much what I pretty much brought it into two arguments. Those were the two arguments that best told the story of my people.
All right, I'll summarize pretty quickly. I only had four or five responses. Al Jackson, my first client as an agent, if he had ever made a pro. My man Seth, I believe it, and this is kind of going to your. I believe it affects the athletes too much. And really, they should have classes and courses to educate people to look out for things of this nature and how to speak out against it. Again, the affecting of the athletes who had obviously nothing to do with any of this. Brian, one of our more constant responders, Brian from New York, they should have just shut down the program for 4 or 5 years. By sanctioning them, they've effectively done that. Not sure why they're vacating the wins from 98 forward. Well, the idea, I think, is to punish Paterno and to not allow him to have the all-time wins record. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
That's exactly why. And the concept of shutting down the program for 4 to 5 years goes exactly to what I was talking about before. That is even more of a death penalty, obviously, but to the point that you lose your fan base. And they're not looking to lose the I think Jack had it absolutely correct. This is extremely good marketing. Because Penn State is one of the upper echelon teams that sells the most jerseys, that has the biggest fan base. Wherever you go, there's always Penn State fans. And the question is, how do we keep our fan base engaged while punishing the same fan base?
Quickly to mention two more. Toby from Maryland. I think it's totally fair, especially since the NCAA is allowing current or incoming players to transfer without sitting. I was initially in favor of the death penalty because I felt that was a strong message, but this is a better solution. The $60 million will go towards helping victims and prevention programs. Players are not being punished, and sanctions send a pretty clear message that this cover-up is not to be tolerated. For once, bravo, NCAA.
Wow.
And finally,
okay.
Keegan from Canada, and since he writes so articulately, I will not paraphrase. Fair would imply that the wrongs inflicted had been in some way righted. Unfortunately, this is a situation where fair will never be achieved. I like the emphasis on allowing the players to move along with their careers as best as they can through unpunished transfers and to focus on punishing the institution and those who had knowledge more so than the student athlete. It was as appropriate a response to an unfixable situation as one could hope for. Fair? No. There's no such thing as fair when it comes to the abuse of children. It's regrettable that so many Penn State students, faculty, and alum will have to suffer because of the action of a few sickening human beings, but can there really be such a thing as an overreaction to the devastation and destruction of so many innocent lives? The loss of dollars, wins, and talent is about the worst you can do to a college football program, but it pales in comparison to the damage to those poor children. At least now the focus can hopefully switch from retribution to healing. It's a long road, but it has to start somewhere. Ooh, we have someone on hold, and we've had him on hold for a while. I apologize.
Oh.
I apologize. I didn't realize we had you on hold. You're on with Seth and Sean.
Hi. So I think that we need to not only focus on the football program and just the sports programs that are affected by its loss, but we need to focus on the reputation the school's going to get for the kids that are actually there for academics as well as sports, you know? Because if they're there for academics, the reputation of the school is going to go down, way down, which means that they may be actually getting a lower source of education as opposed to those people that are, you know, just there mainly for the sports, even though they are there for education as well, you know? They're there
That's
for important. Education more.
That's a great point. First of all, can we get your name? Because we have no idea who you are.
What? Sorry.
We don't know who you are, so can we get your name?
Oh, yeah. I'm Lynn. Sorry about that.
Oh, hi, Lynn. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I think that that's an excellent point. I mean, the education of Penn State, as well as any other college, is funded by the football program or basketball program. I mean, that is a huge deal, and where does that $60 million come from? It's going to come straight from the coffers that could be going at other activities. I mean, I remember back in Syracuse where there was an actual film room that was created due to the proceeds of the Orange Bowl. So I absolutely get where you're coming from. That's an excellent point. And granted, Seth didn't go to a school that had a good football program, but he should know the same thing.
Exactly.
Yes, that is true. I was not at a school, although we did go to an Orange Bowl. Thank you for that reminder. That being said, I know one of the I agree. You know, there's so many side impacts of this. The business, the overall business of university, was it State College, University Park. I think that in a lot of ways that was why the death penalty wasn't given. And as you said, the reputation for people even applying for jobs. You know, Penn State is a pretty reputable school around the United States, and obviously it's going to take a hit. You know, just to the normal people, because the first normal people, excuse me,
normal people. Thanks, Seth.
I retracted. You know, it's going to take a hit just because, you know, the first thing you think of about a school is this kind of incident. It can't help but kind of leave a bad taste in your mouth. So
yeah.
Unfortunately,
it does give a conversational topic at an interview which nobody wants to deal with.
But we have talking about it. I'm sorry, Lynn. Please continue.
Yeah, no, there's like a whole bunch of things about this that people don't want to talk about. I mean, especially with the accusations against Sandusky's wife being in the house when it was happening, and she's sitting there denying it the entire time when these kids are sitting there saying, hey, you had to have heard it. You know, there are a whole bunch of things that we have to address on this that people just don't want to touch because it's an uncomfortable subject.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, this is one, as Seth said earlier on in the broadcast, there is no subject I want to touch less after today than this one. I think we're done until something else tragically occurs or magically occurs dealing with Penn State, because this is just a subject that is, has been talked and talked and talked. We have a resolution for the time being, and you're right. Nobody wants to discuss this. It's a taboo subject, but unfortunately it's mainstream news, so we have to touch upon it. We really do appreciate your call. Thanks so much for calling. And definitely tune in other times and give us a call whenever you want.
Thank you so much.
All right.
We're halfway through the show, and it's time to get away from that and go.
Wait a second. We did not ask Lynn if she was 28 and brunette. Damn. Lynn, if you're 28 and brunette and need, well, okay.
Well, now I think I've moved up to about 30. I think I'm out of the
brunette.
Having gone out with a few 27-year-olds, I think I'm up to the 28. I mean, up to the third, to the 29, 30, 31. I don't think the 27 is working for me right now. So,
ladies and gentlemen, our little boy has grown up.
That's what they tell me. So, anyway, before we even go to the Olympics, let's talk a little bit of the best singles hitter of this decade, Ichiro, in a pretty surprising trade out of nowhere. To the Yankees for two pretty marginal prospects. Was it, now you are obviously the baseball expert. Now was this Seattle saying to Ichiro, "You've done a great job for us. Here's your chance to go win a title. Best of luck to you."
Absolutely
not. Because they ate most of the contract.
Absolutely not. This was Seattle trying to avoid a Ken Griffey situation from 2 years ago. For those that don't remember, Ken Griffey came back for one more. He came back for 1 year and was fantastic in a part-time role. He was able to take that part-time role and go with it for the Mariners. And everybody thought that was the swan song. He was done. The next year, he came back one more year and said, "I'm coming back." And when you're the Mariners, you don't tell Ken Griffey Jr. no. You say sure. Ken Griffey Jr. batted about 180 before he announced his retirement. The Mariners, this is the last year of Ichiro's contract. If they had him at the end of this year, there would be a clamoring for them to re-sign him. He's having the worst statistical year of his career. I don't think they wanted that decision to be made by them. So they go ahead.
Do you really think Seattle was looking to re-sign him? The team is the worst. It's the worst team in the majors.
No.
You
made my point.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, do you really think they would have been forced to put in this position? This is not someone.
Right
this deal. Is someone who, over the last few years, both his I don't really know that, but he's autopiloted, for the lack of better terms. I don't know if there would have been the same impact on him leaving. I think he would have been able to leave with ease. I don't think it would have been an issue at this point. Do you disagree with me on that?
I very much disagree with you. Ichiro is an icon in Seattle, an absolute icon. If he said, "I wanted to come back for another year," I think it would be very hard for the Japanese ownership of that team. And remember, Seattle is owned by Nintendo. The Japanese ownership of that team to say, "Okay, go. No problem. See ya." I really think that would have been a difficult proposition. I think they would not have let him go. They would have offered him a 2 or 3 year deal at much less money. But it would have been a situation where you would have seen a declining player. And I don't think they wanted the headache. I think Ichiro wanted out because he went from, as he said, "I'm going from the worst team in the league to the best team in the league." More power to you. But at the same time, I don't think Seattle wanted him anymore, and this was a graceful exit.
Now, he goes to a team that is among the favorites in the American League, a team with an enormous amount of offensive talent. Will he be he's been a guy who has always wanted to be the start, hitting leadoff, hitting number two. How is he going to, that's not going to happen in New York. Will he be able to adjust?
Well, according to reports,
there were a list of things that Joe Girardi and him and Brian Cashman had a nice sit down before this trade went through. And there were a list of things that were said, list of, I don't know if they were things, but they were a list of variables which Ichiro was going to have to accept to come to New York. One was that he could not wear number 51, which was his number in Seattle. Number 51, if to those that are not Yankee fans, who lost the last person to wear 51, Ronnie Williams. Hasn't been worn since. He would not be playing every day, which to a man of Ichiro's pride, that has to take a hit. He would also not be playing right field, which is his position. He would be playing left field because you're not going to switch Nick Swisher at this point. He's not going to be batting leadoff. He's probably going to be batting lower in the order, much lower in the order.
Oh, he was eighth last night.
Yeah, these are concessions. That's what I was looking for, not variables. These are concessions that he needed to make in order to make this trade work. And he said, fine. So I think he'll handle it. I'm interested to know, the one interview I have yet to see that I've been looking around for, I'd be interested to know what Hideki Matsui thinks about all this.
Nah. Where
well,
is Hideki now?
He knows what it's like to play in New York. And for all those years that the Mariners played the Yankees, Matsui and Ichiro never talked to each other.
Well, yeah, they've been rivals for many years.
Right. So I'd be interested in knowing what he has to say. So I'll be looking forward to some expert reporter, hopefully from Back Sports Page, to make that call.
Well, if Back Sports Page ever gets back up, which we were anxiously awaiting, we were hoping it was going to be by the Olympics. It's not. As many of you know, we were hacked. Actually, and I'm not saying this kiddingly, we were supposedly hacked by the Russians. It's like the Cold War all over again. And so we have to rebuild the site file by file. So our team, the Microtechs out in San Francisco, who I give a shout-out to because they've been brilliant for us over the last year and really helped put our site together the way we wanted after a few failings, to say the least, are working diligently on it. But we're hoping now around August 1st, I think, would probably be around the second week in August would be relatively reasonable. Anyway, just a little plug for the site. But we do have some exciting stuff coming up. Someone brought up this up to me yesterday.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a theme song?
Because I can't sing?
I'm not asking you to sing. But should we have an opening theme song?
Well, sure. I think we should definitely have an opening theme song, except for the fact that, A, I'm not going to pay copyrights for it. Are you?
No, but on a 20-second clip, I'm not too... Are you really that concerned?
I'm always concerned. That's my job.
Oh, yeah. You're an attorney.
Yeah. You know what? I'll look into it. Maybe we'll have a theme song. You mean
I think
Log
we should.
Talk Radio? Wait. You mean this is not our theme talk? Log Talk Radio. Not
no.
Our theme song?
Sure. This is the theme to Seth and Sean Show. The opening theme to Seth and Sean Show. Gary Shandling, for any of those who remember back, well, most of you people who are listening probably weren't born yet.
Here's what I'm suggesting. Right now we have a poll on sport, Seth and Sean Sports, which will run until the 1st of September. That's where we're going to give it a good amount of time because hopefully we won't be talking the NBA till then. Because I don't believe Dwight Howard's being traded. So we're going to have a poll until the 1st of September on which basketball team you would like Seth to root for. So far, the Milwaukee Bucks are winning. So,
really? Is that your vote?
That is definitely my vote. But there is another vote there. But the Milwaukee
Who is the other vote for?
I don't know. I can't see who the other votes are.
Ooh. I thought you said there was another vote, though, so I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, there's one other vote. It's for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, so there's two votes for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Two votes for the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's on the Seth and Sean Facebook page. So we're going to do that by September 1st. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can either call at 760-283-0846. We do take manual votes. I know it's hard in this day and age to take a manual vote, but we are willing to do that. Or email us on the Facebook page. At the same time, if you'd like to come up with a song
the theme song for the Seth and Sean show. We are taking definitely submissions. And if you can sing it, that makes it even better.
That would be pretty awesome.
And you know what? That reminds me of my favorite theme song, and I'm sorry for Sherman Helmsley, who passed away today.
Are you moving on up?
You know, he's moving on up to a much better place. Wheezy's there waiting for him. My condolences to the Helmsley family.
Yeah. All right. We've gone through 40 minutes and haven't mentioned, oh, yeah, the Olympics are coming up.
The Olympics are coming. The Olympics are coming.
Yay! And Olympics, 32 sports over 14 days. And to go over all of them wouldn't make a heck of a lot of sense because, to be honest, I would be a bit concerned if Sean had a distinct knowledge of synchronized swimming. So let's go through some of the sports and see, A, would you watch it or not? And B, what do you know anything about it?
All right, I think we had a list at one point of all the Summer Olympics. Do you have those?
I do. I have it right in front of me right now.
All right, so let's see what we got. Go on.
Archery.
I know what archery is.
Are you going to watch it?
If it's on, I will watch it because that is the coolest bow and arrow exhibition I've ever seen.
Apparently one of the favorites, I think he's Korean, is blind. Good God.
That makes it even better. I'm all in.
Badminton. Love it.
I'm not a big fan of the sport itself, so if we have a correspondent, it will be set.
Fair enough. Basketball. Do the U.S. win both men's and women?
The U.S. will win both men's and women's. However, they will have in the men's a game which they win by under 10 points.
I think they'll have two. I think Spain will give them, although they cruised today, Spain will give them a lot of trouble. Marc Gasol didn't play, and to be honest, they didn't look that great out of what I saw.
They haven't looked that great yet.
No. Beach volleyball.
Well, beach volleyball is one of my favorite sports for women because how can you not like a sport where all they do is dress in bikinis all day? But the fact of the matter is...
I think you just like them because they're all about 3% body fat.
Well, that's true, too. But the fact is, I heard today, because of the weather conditions, and this is going to be a big factor in all the sports, because of the weather conditions, which is about 60 to 70 degrees in London, the beach volleyball players may be wearing long sleeves.
I know how much that hurts you.
It doesn't even hurt me. I've got to tell you, it's going to hurt their television ratings.
Yeah. Look, I'll happily watch Missy Mae Trainor and Kerry Walsh in bikinis.
Exactly. Okay. So the U.S. are favored in that sport, in both men's and women's. I think it's actually a U.S. sport put into that Olympics.
Yeah, but I think actually, I mean, some of the Brazilian teams are just as good as the American teams. So we'll see what happens there. Boxing.
I will watch boxing because I'm always intrigued by the next big thing in boxing.
Oh. There
I
is
don't know
one,
any of the fighters, though.
There is one guy. His name is Rashay Warren. He's from Cincinnati. This is, amazingly, this is his third Olympics. He...
Really?
Well, what happened was he lost... this is one of the reasons they changed the scoring system. He lost in the first round. He won the bronze in 2004. And in 2008, he was the favorite. And he lost by decision in such an idiotic, the way they scored is by punches landed as opposed to anything else, that he was so pissed off, he waited 4 years instead of going pro so he could do this again. So he's about 23, 24. He's 24, I believe.
Well,
so
that's an Olympic athlete because you could be making buku dollars and you are keeping yourself primed for the Olympics. I give him all the credit in the world. What's his name? Because I will watch him.
Rashay Warren.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first. Rashay Warren. Or maybe second.
Okay. Canoeing and kayaking.
I won't watch either one of them. I'm not interested in the least.
I'm a kayaker, so I'll watch it, though. I know nothing. I think those people who do that are the coolest people ever. Cycling.
No, won't watch it either. I think it's a boring sport. I don't even watch the Tour de France.
Agreed. Boring sport. Although now that the British guy won the Tour de France, so he's now actually Wiggins, he's the favorite to win some of the cycling events, which should make England quite happy. Diving.
I'll always watch diving because ever since Louganis hit his head, it amazes me that more divers don't hit their heads.
It's hard to imagine. Greg Louganis, I think, 53 years old now.
Yeah, I know.
We're old. Equestrian.
No, I'm. It's one of the few sports I'm actually afraid of, which is horseback riding. No thanks.
Fencing.
No real desire. But, interesting sport, just not for me.
Field hockey.
Field hockey is a lot of fun to watch. I don't think it'll be televised very much, although I believe every single event is being televised on one of these many NBC channels. If it's on and there's nothing else, I'll watch it.
Gymnastics.
Absolutely. Gymnastics is one of the... It'll be on prime time. It's one of the most fun events to watch. The U.S. always does well in it. Unfortunately, I'll watch it, no question.
Oh, the problem I have is actually I think they're televising everything live, which means everything in prime time is going to be rerun.
Oh, so it'll be on 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Afternoon, yeah. So, okay, both of our personal favorites, team handball.
Absolutely. Team handball is the most fun sport I've ever seen live.
It's awesome. I agree. And that's true radio speak right there. Awesome.
Awesome.
Judo.
No. I mean, I judo is like fencing without the fence.
Yeah, does nothing for me. Modern pentathlon.
I don't know the five sports, but they sound cool.
I am actually going to check to see what the sports are, because I don't know them either.
I think one rhythmic, of them is pole vault.
No, you're thinking of the decathlon.
Oh.
The pentathlon's like with shooting and stuff like that.
No, that's the biathlon.
No, I understand.
The biathlon
is
skiing and shooting.
Shooting, yes, but there's also, I think there's a pentathlon also. The rhythmic gymnastics.
What's that?
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Absolutely no interest. Unless
rowing.
Will Ferrell is doing it.
Rowing.
No, it's kind of like kayaking.
Yeah, it's not like kayaking. I'll watch the last 30 seconds of it, but that's about it. Sailing.
Nope. Kind of like rowing, which is kind of like kayaking.
The only reason I will watch sailing is because I think the only gold medal an Israeli has ever won was in sailing. And if the Israelis, as me being a proud Jew, are in the running for it, I will watch it again. Shooting? Shooting.
As in, like, with a gun?
As in a slingshot.
Well, a slingshot I'd watch. I'm not sure I'd watch the gun.
Soccer.
Yes, absolutely. I always watch soccer.
Did the U.S. women win the gold medal?
Yeah. The men do not.
Oh, the men aren't playing. The men didn't qualify.
Well,
so
that would mean that they can't win it, right? So I was wrong.
That is true. Brilliant, brilliant thought process by our esteemed attorney.
Thank you.
Swimming. Swimming.
I think you have to watch swimming. I mean, just for Michael Phelps. I'll watch some of it. I'm not really into everything, but sure, why not?
See, I prefer that to the gymnastics, actually, and to watch Ryan Lochte versus Michael Phelps should be fantastic. Synchronized swimming.
No, and I know nothing about it.
Nope. Table tennis.
Table tennis is one of those fun things where you're like, where the heck is the ball? I'll watch it for 10 minutes just to be totally amazed because I love playing table tennis, but my table tennis and the Chinese table tennis are two entirely different sports.
Fair enough. I'm going to skip Taekwondo because I'm going to guess that would be a no if you're not going to watch judo.
Basically.
This should be interesting. Tennis.
I'll watch tennis. I'll definitely watch the men. I'm not sure I'd watch the women. And the reasoning is I'd like to see Andy Murray win in Wimbledon.
track and field.
I don't think that – I honestly don't think that there's any player in any sport in the Olympics that's under more pressure than Andy Murray.
I disagree. I don't think he's ever favored to win any of these events because he's just not as good. But I can understand where you're coming from.
Let's see who's not in it. Let's see who's not in it. I mean, Nadal's not playing.
True.
They're playing in the, they're playing on grass where Murray just lost to Wimbledon. He's playing probably the best tennis he's ever played. So, I mean, how can he not be one of the two favorites?
Djokovic, well, because Djokovic and Federer are still there.
I understand, but...
Plus, you have these weird guys win gold medals, actually. Nicolas Massou won a gold in tennis. I'm trying to think. None of the big names have really done it that I can remember on the men's side.
Well, on the women's side, they have. I think Agassi won a gold medal. The women, they definitely do. I mean, I know Capriati won a gold medal. It's all a matter of what you place the most importance on, because remember, the U.S. Open is a month away.
Yes, it is. Cannot wait. Track and field.
Of course I'll watch track and field. I'll watch it just for Usain Bolt.
Who may not be the favorite, interestingly, going into the 200. Trampoline.
There's an actual sport in trampoline?
They took out softball, but they left in trampoline. Unbelievable.
I don't even know the rules, but that just sounds awesome.
I think I should put that on my deck next to my kiddie pool.
I'm putting that on the DVR. I mean, I'm in on trampoline. I'm sorry, the decathlon?
Triathlon.
The triathlon. I didn't even think that was a sport. No, I probably won't watch it.
Volleyball?
Absolutely. I think the thing is with me, and maybe you're the same way, if I'm home and I'm flipping through this and there's an American team, chances are I'm going to stop and watch, regardless of what the sport is.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem is when somebody works from home, for instance, nobody has no thoughts in mind. And
so basically, next Tuesday, we will have a full recap of the weekend's activities. Because Beth will have three TVs on and not be doing any work.
I will have two TVs on and my two computers on. You're welcome to come over and barbecue. Water polo.
My boss isn't in town next week. That may happen. Water polo. Oh, you got a grill?
I ordered it today.
Congratulations. Woohoo. Okay, so party is at Seth's. Next Tuesday, we'll do it live from Seth's place. Okay, what was the last? Water polo? No, probably not. Water polo is a hard sport to watch on TV.
I do kind of dig it, I'm not going to lie. The last two, I think, weightlifting and wrestling, I'm assuming no on both of those.
No, actually, both of them are yes.
Fair enough. Both of them are no for me.
Because both of them I could never do.
There you go. I
want to see Nick Mangold's sister.
That is one tough-looking woman. Is there one athlete, one event, one anything that you're truly looking forward to? Or that you're most looking forward to, I should say.
I always look forward to one thing in particular, and I'm actually going to miss it this year, so I'm going to DVR it. I look forward to the opening ceremonies every year. I look forward to seeing athletes basically... Like you have $1 million, especially the basketball team, seeing them walk around with the water polo players. Like, I think that is an absolutely fantastic thing. The joy that you see in the opening ceremonies is fantastic. I remember from 4 years ago, I remember trying to guess where every country was, which was interesting in its own right. But I definitely look forward to the opening ceremonies. I generally do not watch the closing ceremonies.
I don't think anybody watches the closing ceremonies. And most of us do try and watch the opening. I don't know if they're going to be tape delayed in the States, because I assume they would go on around 3 o'clock otherwise, or 2 o'clock American time. Right. I mean, the one thing I'm looking forward to, I always look forward to see who gives the men's basketball team competition, I do find, I remember in 04 I rooted against them. It was called a communist by one of my friends. I liked the 08 team. The 12 team I'm kind of indifferent about. I do think Spain will give them a lot of problems. I also am really looking forward to seeing Ryan Lochte versus Michael Phelps. It seems to be the only true competition that Phelps has. And I'm curious to see how many gold medals he's going to walk out with. And he will go down as the greatest Olympian of all time. So we got 5 minutes to go. So it's probably start time for our closing thoughts. Do you want to start or should I?
No, I'm going to let you start because I just dropped something in my oven.
Okay. Once again, as we talk about the greatness of the Olympics, there's a pall over it. Because as usual, Juan Antonio Samaranch or Sepp Blatter, whoever is running, or Jacques Rogge, whoever is running the Olympics, doesn't. There's certain things they just don't care about. 40 years ago, 1972, 11 Israeli athletes killed in Munich. All that we've asked for, we being the Jews, so I shouldn't say we, all that Israel has asked for is a minute of silence. Is it that overwhelming? Is it that much to ask for? Is it that much to really? Yes. Does it mean it gets brought up? Well, guess what? This gets brought up every 4 years for a reason. Just it happened. It happened. It could happen again. And it's the idea of the Israeli, of Israel and the Jews as a whole, is that you never forget these things. In my mind, it's not exactly an enormous endeavor here. That being said, the IOC has decided that in their infinite wisdom, they are not interested in the minute of silence. All credit to Bob Costas, of all people, a proud Syracuse grad, and a man who has been to more Olympics than, well, I don't even know where to go with that. In his 10th Olympics, he's actually stated how disgusted he is with the IOC decision, and he, who will be running, who as usual will be hosting the Olympics, has said he will give Israel a minute of silence in respect to 11 who died 40 years ago this week. So, to Bob Costas, thumbs up. To the IOC, you're a joke anyway. That's all for me.
What's interesting is you absolutely just stole my thunder.
That's why I wanted
because
to go first.
I wasn't going to mention bad job by the IOC. I was going to mention what a great job Bob Costas does and how he sets the moral ground. And in this case, I'm going to double up on you because I think that it involves that as well. Because in 1936 in Berlin, the Jewish people were not allowed to run because Avery Brundage, who was a Nazi sympathizer, said, no, you're not going to embarrass the Führer, Adolf Hitler. And then 36 years later, we have 11 Jews that are killed in, as Professor said, in Munich, on the same soil that Berlin was. And now you're getting to the point where in all the things that are such, all the things that are going on in this country, in our country, in the world, all the atrocities that are happening. And there is never a day where you look at a newspaper and you smile. And that's sad. There's never a day where you can read one article, but I guarantee you that article that makes you smile is not on the front page of the news. It will never be on the front page of the news because good things really don't sell. Well, I will guarantee you that Bob Costas will be inundated with good wishes when he does what he does, when he has that moment of silence. Because Bob Costas, an esteemed Syracuse alum, not a graduate, but an alum like myself, sets the tone. He sets the moral tone. He set it in baseball. He set it throughout sports. And he's a good guy, despite the fact when I said to him at a conference, hey, Bob, who are your idols? And his response was, my idols have always been Vin Scully. And when I address him, even to this day, I refer to him as Mr. Scully. Well played, Mr. Costas. Thank you very much. To all our listeners around the world and to the new listeners here in New York and to our esteemed guest, Lynn, thanks for calling in.
This is Sean for Sean and Seth and Sean. Follow us on Facebook and figure out who Seth's new team is. Go Bucks. Thanks again.
Good night, everybody.